I'd like to speak to you about atonement. Ooh, that's an interesting word, isn't it? How often do you use that word in your everyday conversation? It's an interesting word, isn't it? But I think what it kind of means, in a sense, is it's the reconciliation between two parties who have been estranged or separated by some wrongdoing. So I'm sure if you have a family dispute or anything like that, you probably don't go around saying, well, we need to get some atonement into this situation. But the reality is that's probably what you do need to do. But I think the important thing about atonement is it's actually quite a positive word. And it actually also implies that there is an action that has to take place to make amends for what's gone before, whether that be to make reparations for a situation or to restore a broken relationship. And of course, in popular culture, we perhaps hear the word atonement maybe a little bit more, or we see the evidence of it. Some of you will know there is a film and a book called Atonement. And the film and the book deals with the consequences of those actions afterwards, and how she spends so much of her time trying to atone for the situations that she created. Then you've got a film like Schindler's List. So I'm sure many of you have seen Schindler's List, and that's where this guy, Oskar Schindler, he makes lots of efforts to atone for his initial indifference to the situation that was around the Second World War, where he was profiteering from the war, but then he turned the corner, and of course he saved many of the Jews from the Holocaust. And he spent his life atoning for his previous intransigence, if you like, for what he was doing. And then for perhaps some of the more younger folk, then we've got Tony Stark in Iron Man, who then is continually seeking redemption for the situation that he finds himself in. And he's looking for that eventual atonement, which he gets, for those of you who are connoisseurs of the Marvel Universe, in Avengers Endgame. But that's popular culture. But in a Christian context, atonement is about a reconciliation we have with God. And that, of course, is achieved through the death of Jesus and his resurrection. So thinking about that one a bit more, why do we need atonement at all? You know, God's there, he loves us. But why do we need that atonement in our lives? Well, Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, because there is sin in the world and sin in our lives, then we have that broken relationship with God. And we need to have that atonement to help us restore that relationship. So how do we get atonement? Well, Romans 3, verse 25, just a couple of verses further along, it says, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith." So you see, atonement is rooted in the sacrificial giving of Jesus Christ. You know, we believe that Jesus willingly took it upon himself to take on board that punishment of sin by dying on the cross. And that's everything that is about, you know, who Jesus was. That was his primary mission when he came here to the earth. And that just demonstrates the incredible selfless love of our Heavenly Father in providing a pathway, a journey to God's grace and mercy through that atonement. And we also see it because Jesus was a substitute. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." And of course, we often use that phrase at the end there, "by his wounds you've been healed," to talk about healing. But it also means, I think in this context, about our own life, that we can have eternal life and have that healing of what has gone before in sin and now become into eternal life. You see, Jesus acted as the substitute for us on the cross. He bore that punishment that we would have deserved otherwise, and he satisfied the demands of justice. And that meant we could receive forgiveness and be reconciled to God. So who is atonement for? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the question is atonement for specific people? Well, no. It is for you, it is for me, and it is for the whole world, without exception. And that can be quite a bit of a challenge to us when we see everything that goes on in the world and all the nastiness that there is. But God says that atonement is for everybody. So what's the result of atonement? Well, we are saved from God's wrath. Romans 5 verse 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? See, Jesus' sacrifice protects us from the wrath of God. And I'm sure on the course that Stephen Carroll is going to be running, when it gets to the last judgment, the final chapter, then there's going to be an element of what God's wrath is going to be against some aspects of the world that we know now. But this act that Jesus did of dying on the cross demonstrates God's righteousness, and it makes it possible for us to be justified before him. And that, of course, leads to a restored relationship. And we are redeemed, if you like, from the consequences of sin. And this restoration of this relationship between God and us is essential to our faith. I mean, if we did a straw poll here this morning of what is the central thing about your faith, then it is this relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. It is the relationship you have with Jesus. It is the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit. And this relationship highlights God's love and his grace and his mercy upon our lives. And it's useful, isn't it, to consider these unusual words that crop up from time to time. What atonement actually means. And you know, there's no greater representation of atonement that we can find in the Bible than what we find in John 3, verse 16. So this is probably the most familiar verse to many of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And these familiar verses, it's easy, isn't it, to skate over them and say, yeah, we know that, and we press on through the rest of the chapter until we get to the end of that daily reading. But actually, sometimes it's good to take stock of the familiar things, to unearth and uncover the treasure that might be there in between. So I just want to break down John 3:16 into five key points. So the first thing I want to say is it opens with "for God." So this is not something that John, writing the Gospel of John, is making an offer to us. This is not, you know, Paul giving some great teaching or treatise from his letters. This is not just anybody, but this is God saying this. For God is going to say these things. This is God's offer to us. All the power and all the majesty of our Heavenly Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in perfect agreement of what is about to be said. And I think that's staggering when you start to just take those first two words and consider and dwell on that point. This is God saying this. And What's going to follow is ensuring atonement for all of us. So, you know, we need to sort of, when God's speaking like this directly into situations and we lose the familiarity of it and just dwell and meditate on the particular verse, then we can take notice of these things. So the second point is God's unfathomable love. And the verse continues with, "So loved the world." And this is revealing the boundless and unconditional love that our Heavenly Father has for us. His love is not limited by all the flaws that we have. And you will know from relationships and friendships that you have that there are certain things about an interaction with some of your friends that you may not be comfortable doing with because you know how they might receive that, or you see a flaw in somebody that you're talking to. But God doesn't see it that way. Because God loved the world unconditionally. And this love is the foundation upon which salvation is offered to us. And it's the foundation on which God builds atonement for us. Third point, the verse carries on and it says that he gave his one and only son. You see, God's love is not just a sentiment. It is demonstrated through action. Now, it would have been easy for God to carry on in the Old Testament way and have that detachment from what was actually happening here on earth. But no, God sent Jesus, his one and only son, to the earth. It was a demonstrable action that God was performing. And he gave his precious gift of his only son to atone for our sins. His sacrificial giving on the cross paid the penalty. And that gives us the reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. It was the ultimate sacrifice. Fourth point, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And this offer of salvation is incredibly inclusive and it's universal. It doesn't discriminate on race or background or past mistakes. The offer of salvation is available to everyone. And through faith in him, we are granted eternal life. I think that's just really incredibly exciting. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are or your situation or where you find yourself or maybe that you're having conversations with somebody to tell them about Jesus. Stressing the point, it doesn't matter what their circumstances are, God's love for them is universal and unconditional. And it reveals God's unending grace. And the fifth point is, well, what's the role of atonement in all of this? Well, atonement, I think, is central to the promise that is in John 3, verse 16. You see, through Jesus' sacrifice, the barrier of sin is removed. And we then have that relationship opened up to us again with our Heavenly Father. Atonement means that Jesus took upon himself the punishment we deserved. It allowed us to be justified and cleansed of our sin. And this gives us the opportunity to have that restored relationship with God. I'm sure every one of us sitting here this morning would love to have a real closeness of relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father. But that is available to you. Whether it be that you need to receive the gift of eternal life for the first time, or whether you just need to come back and revisit where you are in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. See, John 3:16 is a profound statement to the incredible love and sacrifice and grace of God. It gives us the gift of precious salvation and atonement offered through Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus said, Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He was revealing a complete change in tone from God. God was offering an opportunity for every one of us to have a restored relationship. See, if atonement is all about reconciliation between two parties that have been estranged or separated by some kind of wrongdoing, then there is no greater way of making that happen with us and God except through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. To put it in simple terms, everything that went before Jesus about our relationship with God involved many hundreds of rules and a sacrifice of an animal to create even the remotest opportunity of any kind of atonement. Think Old Testament. It was a relationship that involved the facilitation of others to receive. You know, the high priest had to go into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and present the sacrifice to God. There was a detachment for the people from that closeness, that relationship with their God. It was really hard for anyone in those times to have a truly personal relationship with God. But you see, now with the gift of his only Son, God changes the tone of that relationship so that we can have a personal relationship through Jesus. And as amazing as the gift of Jesus was and the staggering sacrifice he made, God was 100% intentional with his actions. This is what God intended. And God was absolutely sure, and he indicated as much through the Old Testament prophets, that there would be a change of tone with the arrival of Jesus. Not just through the way that Jesus coached his disciples as apprentices, but because of his ultimate sacrifice. It was the ultimate illustration of atonement. In a sense, it was atone meant for all of us. That Jesus died on the cross was atone meant for all of us. So the question to you this morning is, how do you receive this information? And how do you respond to it? Do we ignore it as irrelevant? Do we consider there is no need for God? Am I doing fine by myself? Am I just turning up to church because it's a social event of the week for me? Or is it actually making a difference to who I am? Do we actually think there is a God and he loves me so much that despite there being a huge gap in our relationship, I recognize that Jesus gives me the opportunity to fill that gap, to have that restored relationship. It's atonement. It's atone meant for you. So can I readily accept Jesus into my life, either for the first time or to renew that relationship? Now, I hope it's the latter there, that it's coming into that closeness, that relationship with Jesus and your Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. You know, and even if you've been on that pathway before and you've been lost in the maze of life, God wants you to know this morning that there is still atonement readily available for you to restore that relationship. And it's interesting the word that Barbara brought this morning. You know, maybe God is starting to unravel some of your situations that you find yourself in. Whether that be with others or with God himself, I believe God is saying to you this morning that in those situations, I want to bring atonement into your life today. I want you to have a restored relationship with me, to be close to me, to allow me to walk with you and you to walk with me in your life. There is opportunity today for you to have atonement coming fresh into your life. Yes, it's an unusual word. It's not something that we have in our everyday lives. But it does come down to response that is meant for your life. Do you want to change it so that a tone meant for you changes the tone of your life going forwards? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see, through atonement, we can receive this mercy and we become God's special possession. I think that's extraordinary. That every one of you here today can be God's special possession. You may not feel particularly special, but in God's eyes, you are a special possession. You are chosen by him. It's nice to be chosen, isn't it? It was never nice, was it, at school when they were picking the football teams or the hockey teams or the netball teams or whatever team it was to be the last person standing? Because you didn't feel like you were being chosen. You were just the added extra. But in God's eyes, you are chosen. And we no longer have to live in darkness. And nor do we have to allow darkness to pervade our lives. You see, we are the people of God and all that entails. You see, God's mercy is immense. Not getting what we do deserve. And his grace is even bigger than his mercy, giving us what we don't deserve. His grace knows no bounds. So just to conclude, let's use the opportunity this week to reflect on what I've said today about atonement and atonement for you. And let's give thanks to our Heavenly Father for these things. And especially to God for that change in tone that is meant for your life. Do you want to accept that change in tone? That's the question. Whether that be something you have yet to accept or something you spend every day giving thanks for. An infrequently used word is an extremely powerful word. And God wants you to experience his atonement in your life, to change the tone of your life. Thanks.
Let's just reflect on that, shall we, as we close in prayer. Yeah. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for Jesus sending your Son, Lord, to die for us, to pay our price, Lord, that we might have that relationship with you. And Father, just as we reflect on what we've heard, Lord, today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would do a new work in each of us, Lord. A deeper work, Lord. Lord, you would unravel those things that need unraveling. in our lives. Lord, that we would know the depths, Lord. Lord, the breadths, Lord. Lord, the height, Lord, of your love for us, Lord. Lord, we might just be bowled over, Lord. Lord, by what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, and that we would come afresh, Lord, to you, Lord. Lord, in that right relationship, Lord, that your love will be able to work through us, Lord, as your people, as your chosen people. So, Father, Lord, help us, Lord, to respond, Lord, to you, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If anyone would like prayer, do please come. And, we'll be available to pray for anyone who would like prayer. But God bless you. And remember, it's life groups next week. And then back here the following week. Okay? Thank you.